joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide, and I am not captive to lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. There's power that can break up every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, standing in your love. Oh, standing on the rock, Lord, I'm standing in your love. Now I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the rock, my firm foundation. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the rock, my firm foundation, my firm foundation. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear
Don't you love worshiping the Lord together? Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And mark your place in Isaiah 5 because we'll be back. I'm really encouraged by the Spirit of God. I'm encouraged by the power of His Word. His Word is quick, it's sharp, it's alive, it changes us. Amen. It brings us in a place of being able to receive His promise. If we can receive His promise, we receive His provision. Amen. And we're in a place where we can do and be what God called us to be. But we need to be busy about what God would have us to do. The title of this, I had some help on it. When I tell you the title of it, everybody that knows us will know who helped me with the title. Get off your butt and get out of the rut. I wonder who that could have been that helped me with that. She's very bold. But I told her this, what was on my heart, and she said, that's what you need to title it. And so anyway, these scriptures show us that we get in a rut. You know, if we're not careful. And like Pastor Kenny said years ago, you know, the only difference between a rut in a grave is the rut's got the ends knocked out of it. And I never forgot that, and that is so true. But we do need to be moving forward. And a lot of times, and as I was praying about this, you know, a lot of times we're so busy. We have a lot of motion. But the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, motion is not necessarily movement. And when He said that, you know, I saw, like, I could be sitting in a rocking chair. I could be rocking right away. I've got motion, but there's no movement. And so we need to be moving forward. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Isaiah chapter 5. Let's read Isaiah 5 first. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 13. Isaiah 5 and 13. Look what the Word of God says. I want you to key on the word ignorant this morning, simply meaning not to know. Not to know. He said, therefore, my people, this is God talking, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They don't know. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, look what that causes. Verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth us shall descend into it. Now, hold your place there. Mark that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant, that you should not know, how that, mark it down, all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now notice verse number 6. Now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, after worthless things. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Being drafted in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, becoming real and stick up with any unit, Lord. And I
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for honoring the Word of God. Thank you for your presence this morning. It's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with you. I want you to leave here this morning just so encouraged. I want you to leave here so on fire to the reality that God is taking you and I somewhere. And if we will get in the place of movement with Him and not just be in motion. See, the devil loves to keep us busy and keep us in motion about things that seemingly that we are convinced that we can control. You and I, we're under the control of Jesus because we've chose to make Him the Lord of our life. And He's the one that can control things. You and I, we can't. Amen? But we serve a God who is mindful. We serve a God who is wanting to work in and through us. But if we'll allow Him, He's going to take us somewhere. Amen? And we're going to the promises of God. And so this morning, I want you to leave here with an expectancy level that is through the roof. I want you to leave here with an understanding that God will not withhold any good thing from you. And He wants to put us in a place, in a position where we can always succeed. But we've got to get up, amen, and not just go through the motions. We've got to be about the place of expectancy. I want you to expect something different every day. I want you to believe God for new things. I want you to believe God for the lost. I want you to believe God that there will be something happen in and through your life that will impact somebody else for His glory, amen. So let's look at some things this morning. Let me lay a foundation, and we'll see where this goes. Now notice in this 1 Corinthians chapter 10, first of all, notice in verse number 1, he said, moreover. So we've got to understand that what he's talking about is a continuation from chapter 9. And so in chapter 9, he's talking about running a race. And he's talking about that you've got to be in the place and the position to know that you're going somewhere. And you get that in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. To be able to run that race, you've got to do verse 27. You've got to bring your body. I've got to bring my body under subjection. To be able to go and do and be what God's called us to be in this earth age, in this dispensation of time, we've got to say, listen, flesh, you're not going to dominate me any longer. Because as we talked about last week in Romans chapter 8 there, you and I, we're no longer under the law of sin and death. But the law of what? Of freedom, of life in Jesus Christ is in us, working in us. Amen? You don't have to drum it up. You don't have to dream it up. You just have to allow it to be. Amen? And so this morning, I want you to see that the Apostle Paul is pulling from his great depth of resource of teaching to allow the Holy Ghost to bring a clear understanding to the church at Corinth where they can understand. He's saying, I want you to get the imagery of God the Father bringing His chosen people out of Egypt. Well, you and I, every day of our life, we're being brought out of Egypt. We're being brought out of things that would bind us, things that would limit us. Amen? And so to be able to do that, we've got to see that God has a promise for us. And that promise is that when you're in the Lord, that you, just as they did, the Old Testament type of baptism, they passed through the Red Sea. Well, you and I, we've been baptized in water, but we've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. Amen? And so, just as they were all baptized, you and I, those who have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, we've been baptized into that same sea of the rivers that flow out of the throne of God. Amen? But just as they were and just as we are, there may be some of us this morning or there may be somebody that God wants to use you to minister to this morning. They've been through these things, but they're in a rut. They've sat down on the promises of God. They've sat down on where they're at, and they're not letting God take them where He wants to take them. You and I, we need to go somewhere, amen? We've got to move forward. And so he says, just because this happened to them, he said, don't think it's going to be just all ease, because it's not. Because look what he said in verse number 3. He said, and they all did eat the same spiritual meat. Think about this. They all did, verse 4, they all did drink from the same spiritual drink. They drank from Christ. Well, this morning, you and I, Christ has sustained us this whole week. He's took care of us. He's fed us physically. He's fed us emotionally. But praise God, He's fed us spiritually. But just as He's done that, we need to look and see, if I'm not moving forward, if I'm not running this race with patience, as the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 12 and 1. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that would so easily beset. If I'm not running this race, if I'm not bringing my body under subjection, I could be like the example that Paul is talking about. I could be like those that God Himself brought out with Moses, with the mighty hand, that were brought out. They were a part of God's plan, but they were really not in God's plan. I don't want to just be a part of what's going on. I want to be in the middle of it, don't you? I want to be in the middle of God's will, in the middle of God's blessing, in the middle of God's provision. I want to be in the middle of everything that God has called me to do and be. And I know that you do too. And so this morning, the Spirit of God is wanting to encourage us. There's areas in your life and my life that we're dealing with attacks from the enemy, trying to get our eyes off the prize, trying to limit, trying to hinder, trying to make us question some things. But this morning, you and I have got to be in the place where we say, God's got something for me to partake of. And if I partake of it willingly and expectantly, I don't have to come into the place and the position that my forefathers did. Amen? It can be different. All right? Now, I want you to see something with me. Hold your place there. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, about verse number 7, I think it is. Look what Jesus says. He says, talking to the church here at Ephesus, he says, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute. The Apostle Paul, as he's talking to the church at Corinth, he said, hey, they all did eat. God fed them. He fed them that manna that was Christ that come down from heaven, John chapter 6 tells us. But they didn't really benefit, all of them, from the way that God wanted them to. And this morning, you and I, we need to see that Jesus, that tree of life, that you can partake of Him every day. I can partake of Him every day, but we've got to overcome the temptations. We've got to overcome the struggles and the battles that we have with the flesh, that we have in and of this world. And we've got to see that yes, there is a millennium coming, and there is an eternity coming. But God's promises, they're for us now, right this moment. Amen? And so, if I leap from the tree of life, that means death can't work in me. Amen? That means life is working in me. That means the promises of God are being manifested, being fulfilled. And so I need to get up and start testing the Word of God. Trying it, putting it to work in my life. God's wanting to challenge us. He's putting before us an open door. That open door that we preached about to open up this new year is the reality that we can have what the Word of God says. We can be who the Word of God says we are. We can do what the Word of God says we can do. Amen? But we've got to see it, and we've got to step into it. I need to eat of what God says about me. Come on, every one of us, we hear what the devil says. We hear what the doctor says. We hear what the banker says. What does God say? What does God say about me? What does God say about my situation? What does God want to do in and through me? I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to stay in this rut of where I'm at. I'm going to go. I'm going to eat of that very tree of life, and I'm going to let it create a vision. A vision of God's promise, of God's Word in my life. Amen? He tells us in Revelation chapter 3 that He wants to help us. In verse number 8, look what He says. He says, I know thy works, Revelation 3 and 8, and behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And that's the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. That's you and I, amen? But you have the key of David. The key of David is that you know the Old Testament, you know the New Testament. You know how it works. You put it together by the Spirit of God, and you operate in that revelation. Amen? So here we are this morning. Moreover, brethren, Paul wants to take us deeper in this race. He wants to take us to where he would have us to go. But we've got to see that there's limitations and hindrances if we don't do it God's way. Now, let's look at a couple more verses in that chapter 10. He said, but many of them, in verse number 5, 1 Corinthians 10, 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were, the word, if you look in the Greek Septuagint, it means they were slain. And if you go back to Numbers, I believe it's Numbers 14, it'll confer that. They were slain in the wilderness. Why? Because they got out from under God's protected hand. They got out from under the covenant. See, you and I, we choose to dwell under the shadow of the Most High God. And in the shadow of the Most High God is the covenant promises, is the covenant blessing, is the covenant provision. Amen? And so God wants us to run this race. He wants us to get up and move with Him and to go where He'd have us to go. But to do that, you and I have got to believe that we can't do things the way that they did. See, look at verse number 6. Now, these things, all the Old Testament, was written for our example. Now, we've talked about this a lot of times, but the word example is tupos in the Greek, and tupos is a die. Now, a mold. Ladies, you've all had molds in your house where you wanted to cook a cookie a certain way, or you wanted to cook a cake a certain way. And every time you poured that batter into that mold, it come out what? The shape of the mold. That's what Paul is saying here to the church. He's saying, listen, if you do what they did, you're going to have what they have. Negative, but praise God, we're looking to the positive. Amen? So we can do it God's way, and you're going to always succeed. Amen? You're going to come out on top. And so we don't want to be foolish. We want to do what God would have us to do. Now, I want us to see some things here, and I want you to be so encouraged. So he said there in Isaiah 5 that God said, my people, if they don't know, they go into captivity. Well, that makes perfect sense, because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you shall know the truth. So the old and new complement each other perfectly. There's no mistakes. It's perfect for us. And so God Himself says, I don't want you to go into captivity. I want you to know the truth. This morning, if we'll be honest with the Lord and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us, there'll be things come up in our life that God has for us that's so much better than what we're possessing. So much more powerful in what He wants to do in us and through us. Amen? And so I want us to be in that place where we're expecting. Now, what do you really expect this morning about life? See, the world wants to keep us so beat down. The devil wants to take and water down the Word of God, and it always makes it look like it's way off in the future, or for somebody else, that you don't qualify, I don't qualify. And so we've got to what? We've got to get into that place where, God, I want everything that You'd have for me. Amen? And I want to see what it is, and I want to receive it. So let's look. Paul said they're in samples. They're examples. They're two posts. They're patterns for you and I. So if God done it for them under... Brother James, you just got a new van not too long ago, right? But the reason why it took you a while to find one, you wanted to get one that was a lot worse than the one that you had, right? No, you didn't look for one that didn't have power steering, that didn't have a pair of brakes, didn't have air conditioning, didn't have a smaller, didn't have enough room. You look for what? Something better. But yet we try to talk to people about what God done for Israel, and they say, yeah, but you're in the church. That has nothing to do with you. That's just for Israel. We're under a better covenant with better promises. And we're moving forward. And so we look at those examples and we see what God done for them under the old covenant. And we need to let Him do it for us now under the new covenant. Amen? All right, so let's see some things. Go back with me to Isaiah. It was in chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 4. Now, we saw the power that of not knowing in chapter 5 would bring to us. It causes hell to be enlarged. Let's see what knowledge in the positive will do for us. In Isaiah chapter 4, now, let's just start reading in verse number 1. Now, I know that people are going to say this is for a specific set of time, and you can believe that and miss out if you want to, or you can let the Spirit of God minister to you for this morning. Amen? Now, history, God always taught from the history to show us the eternity, but He also teaches from history to show us the present. Amen? Now, it says, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name and take away our reproach. Now, history tells us that's what happened to Israel from all the wars. All right. But literally, this morning, you and I, we're in a marriage covenant with the Lamb of God. He wants to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your Provider. He wants to be your all in all. We are of the church feminine. He is we're the bride. He's the husbandman. Amen. He is our... So hold that in your mind. Now look, verse number 2. In that day shall the branch... Now Isaiah chapter 11 tells us the branch is Jesus. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion... Zion, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, is the church. Amen? All right. And he that remaineth in Jerusalem, he that remained founded on peace, shall be called holy, even every one of them that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, oh glory, don't the blood of Jesus make you white as snow? Come on. Glory. That makes me want to shout. Glory. Come on now, the blood of Jesus has washed away our filth. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem and from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Now, you and I have that fire of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, I know literally, but we're looking at the spiritual connotation of this. Now, look at verse number 5 and 6. I want you to get ready. Verse number 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Let's stop right there. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place. Now, what did the Apostle Paul write to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, down about verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place. Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended away, he said, I'll never leave you. Because why? He's in you. That's how you know that you're God's and God knows that you're His, because you've been sealed. Amen? All right, now look what the promise is. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion of the church a dwelling place. Every place the Lord is, there's productivity, there's life, there's peace. You can have peace in this troubled world. You can have a God who will take care of you in every situation of life because there's a dwelling place. Amen? The promises of God. But I've got to receive them. You've got to receive them. Notice. And upon her assemblies, the assemblies of Zion, of the church, look what he promised. A cloud and a smoke by day and a shining flame of fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now this word defense from the Hebrew is tshuva. You know what it is? It's a marriage chamber. You and I, when we got married to the Lord, we entered into a chamber, into a dwelling place that's spiritual. And in that dwelling place, we have a covenant. A covenant with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And in that covenant, it is a blood covenant. He shed His blood that you and I can be a part of it. And He shed His blood that we could come into this place, this dwelling place, where He would protect you. He would take care of you. He would meet your needs, but He would then depend upon you to take the truth and the reality of a God in the earth, in His people, to people who had never saw Him, felt Him, tasted Him, heard Him. Come on now. But we got to get up out of the rut and be not in motion, but in movement toward the promises of God to be able to bring this into the earth. Amen? And notice what He says. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. So let's look. Let's see some things. Exodus chapter 13. What's he talking about? What did he do for the children of Israel under the Old Testament? Exodus chapter 13, I think down about verse 21 or something. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. Now this is just a type and a shadow of what God does in our life, being led 24/7 by the Holy Spirit today. Today. Now think about it, in this desert area, that it, when the temperatures went to 120, 125, whatever plus degrees, God had a covering over them. And then at night, when all the stars shined and the clear skies, all the heat was just sucked out and it becomes so cold, there was a pillar of fire to warm them. He done that in the natural. God wants to take care of you in the natural as well as in the spiritual. Amen? He knows that He can meet your needs, but do you and I know it? Will we get up and not just be in motion with fear, with anxiety, but be in movement toward the promises of God? Amen? Now, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want us to get a clear picture of what God done for Israel and what He'll do for you because you're grafted in. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look what He says in verse number 14. Deuteronomy 8 and 14. It says, He's talking about how we live by the Word of God as He started this. We've got to stay humble. But He says in verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So Egypt is bondage, but now, well, stay with me. Verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. You and I, we are on a wilderness journey. And we're coming out of bondage every day, and we're coming into the promises of God. But while we are on this journey, you're going to do just like they did. Look what it says. You're going to meet fiery serpents. The fiery serpents were there to what? To try to get people, get their eyes off of Jesus. But Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that seraphim, as He lifted up that golden serpent and the people were healed, He said, I'll be lifted up. Old and new, tied perfectly together. You and I, there are serpents that want to bite us, but we got to keep grumbling. We got to get that out of it. Quit grumbling. They grumbled and they stumbled. Amen? But you and I, we've got to see and be so thankful and grateful for what God's done for us. See, because when we're thankful is like the gas tank on your car. Thankfulness shows your faith level. Shows my faith level. The more grateful and thankful I am, the more that it shows that I'm trusting God. Amen? And so as they grumbled, they stumbled, and they got into sin, and these serpents come. There's serpents all around. But the answer is Jesus. But see, if we're not careful, the whole world talks about, well, that's just the way it is. We just have to deal with it and just stumble through this life, and then one day it's going to be great. We don't have to stumble if we'll hear the Word of God. If we'll believe what Jesus has for us. Amen? All right. Now look what it says. Wherefore, He led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. Notice He said, you're going through it. You're not staying there. Wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, and who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Now, can you imagine? With all the people, 600,000 men, 2.5 to 3 million people, and all the livestock, all the water that they had to have in that desert situation, and God brought it forth for them. God took care of them. How much more can He take care of you and I today? Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through. And that means you've got a testimony. You've got a message to tell people who are out in the world who are struggling. You can tell them that there is a God that wants to make Jesus their shepherd. He wants to meet them where they're at. He wants to help them run the race and to be in movement toward His promises and not just be in motion. Oh, glory. And so this morning, we've got to see, I want to go through this. Now think about the children of Israel. Now, if we do the math, let's say that there's 2.5 to 3 million people. Now, if you line them up like this, 1, 2, 3, you line them up and you put them 2.5 million people that way, that's going to cover 150 miles. Now, let's think about 150 miles. From that point to the promise where God had for him is roughly 240 miles. They're only 90 miles from the promise if you line them up from Egypt and then line them up, walk them out. That's how much they covered. Now think about it this morning. You and I, we've come so far. We don't want to sit down and miss reaching the promise. It's right there. It's within grasp. We can see it. For them, it was approximately an 11-day journey, but they stayed 38 years in Kadesh Barnea. We don't want to sit down and stay and die and miss out on God's best. We want to move into what God would have for us. Amen? Amen. It's yours. Jesus bought and paid for it. When He looked up in John 19 and said, "It is finished." Everything that would hinder you and I, He took care of it on the cross. And so what we want to do, we want to come in to this promise. We want to come in to this blessing. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. Hallelujah. Now, notice one more time what He said. I want you to see it says in verse number 1, all our fathers. Verse number 2, all were baptized. Verse number 3, all did eat. Verse number 4, all did drink. But it come down to an individual choice. Verse number 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Just because this happened to brother so-and-so, this happened to sister so-and-so, this happened to mom or dad, it doesn't have to happen to you. Amen? You can have God's best. God's putting a great big challenge in front of us. And the challenge is, will you believe me to be all that I destined you to be? I've been under such conviction this past week. I've had to repent because I have put God in a box. And I said, and I didn't even realize what I was doing. I was limiting the Lord on what He could do. See, we do that. God is, He works through people. And so we can have the promises of God if we will let the Word of God have free reign, if we'll get up and move in it. Amen? You've got to say what God says, and if you'll say what God says, you'll do what Jesus did. Amen? Now, you know the story, but it says many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. But they were two, right? Joshua and Caleb. They were not overthrown. They pleased God, and they made it all the way. So, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. They witnessed and testified that God could do what He said He could do. So, you may be in a minority this morning. But I want you and I to stand up in Jesus and go where He'd have us to go. And testify that every jot, every tittle in this Word is true. That it's here to be fulfilled. Amen? Now, I want us to close with this. Drop down in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse number 9. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur you, verse 10, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Notice once again, two posts in verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, for a die, And they are written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, God makes this statement in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. He said, I'm the God that declares the end from the beginning. And so you and I will never understand where we're at prophetically if we don't go back to the book of Genesis. If we don't go back and look at the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, all of these setting the foundation of what is happening, of where we're at prophetically. In the timeline, God is getting ready. Things are happening. Brother JP and I were talking about the very birth pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 are happening. Come on, the earth is getting ready to give birth to the newness of what God's promised. But in the meantime, you and I have got something to do. Amen? So I want you this morning, I want you to be so encouraged that you say, I'm going to get up in the new promises of God. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to accept and receive what God wants to do in and through me, for me, because I want the whole world to know that God's real, that He's alive, and that His Word is true. Amen? We'll quit right there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You for the reality of relationship. But I ask You right now, Lord, that the challenge that You placed in my spirit before my eyes, that with this group of people that You have placed together, that You are building together, that You put the same thing on their heart. Let them see and believe. And let them be drawn deeper into what You would want to do in them and through them. Father, I pray, Lord, that every fiery serpent, every work of the destroyer that is trying to steal from them this morning, let them not be in motion, but let them come in movement. Let them move forward in Your promises and let the provision be ministered in their life. We ask You, Father, expecting, believing, praising for this to happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, I want to make sure that I haven't sat down. I want to make sure that I'm coming into every promise. I see that what You've done for the children of Israel, You'll do for me. I see that I am in a covenant relationship with You. So it's not about me. It's about the finished work of Jesus Christ. See, we're not coming to God on our own merit. We're coming to God on what Jesus has done. We're coming to Him by Jesus saying, come unto me, because I have finished it. And if you'll come, if I'll come to Him this morning, we'll have a fresh impartation of vision. And that fresh impartation will cause us to walk from where we're at deeper into the will of God, deeper into the plan of God. We don't have to be stopped in any area this morning. Would you come? Would you come and let the church pray with you? Would you come expecting? If you won't come for yourself, come wanting to be moved by the Spirit of God to do what only You can do with Jesus. Amen?